Father, we just want to thank you for this time of worship, this time, Lord, of encouraging one another and your Spirit encouraging us. Father, we just want to praise you and thank you for being our God. Father, I pray that your Spirit would be here again this morning, helping us, Father, help us, Lord, to be willing to learn new things. Not just look, Lord, to reaffirm what we already believe. And help us, Father, to go deeper into our faith in you, that we might trust you more than we have before. Father, I pray for the kids in Children's Church. Pray for the teacher there. Pray, Father, for each and every one of us, that we would just grow in love and care for you and for one another all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're in fifth grade or below and would like to go to Children's Church, you may do so at this time.
Pastor?
Yes, John.
Ray stepped up this past week. You know, we weren't going to have a soup because everyone was gone.
Yeah.
Ray had a soup. It was takeout because there weren't enough people to set up tables and do dishes and everything. As I understand, we served about 60. Well, about 56 is what we sold. 56
people. Wow.
Amen.
Yeah. Ray, whoever headed that up, thank you. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. And whoever cooked was awesome. Thank you, Lord, for gifting you with that good recipe.
All right. Yeah. Who was the cook last week? Or was it a chef's choice?
It was Ray and Shirley.
I cooked Joey, and Joey cooked chicken noodle.
So Shirley got the chicken noodle, and you did the chili. So I missed it all because we were just eating fresh trout. Colleen can give you the recipe. That is really good.
Pastor, one more thing?
Yes, please, John.
You know, the soup has been a pretty big part of this church and community. And you probably all read the paper this week.
No.
We lost Mike Taylor, and Vietnam vet, homeless. When they interviewed him last year, the only thing he really wanted was a place to live. And he found a fucking hanging in a tree. And we lost another man from the community who was in jail. Some of the folks knew this man and related to him, and that was Thomas Larecki. Committed suicide down in jail.
We got problems, folks. We got problems. So,
you know that the tree, the pastor's magic tree? One thing that the pastor that shared with the speaker, said, he moved into the inner city of Chicago, he and his wife, they adopted some little kids there and whatnot. But he said, you know, the laws were wrong. They kept people from achieving, doing, and being everything they could. They held them back. And they couldn't change it because it's the way it was. But they changed it through prayer. They just stepped up and they started praying. They started entering into activities where they could as Christians.
You know, let me cut you off. Because I want to talk to that just for a minute. Because here's what the speaker said is they had gone into a courtroom and they'd gone through litigation. They were trying to get something brought through, and the judge motioned against them. And one of the people that was up there with him on his panel said to them, "Your Honor, can I say something?" And the judge said, "You know, well, it's out of order, but since you're not an attorney, go ahead." And he said, "Your Honor, is there no justice in this room?" And the judge, without missing a beat or hesitating for a second, said, "No. There's no justice in here. This is not a house of justice. This is a house of law. If you want justice, go to the legislature and change the law." And you know, when we are looking at the problems of this world, the more I get convinced that this is not a place of justice here on this earth. This is a place of laws. Right and wrong, do this, do that. You know, if a policeman pulls someone over and that person gets out of the car, they're not supposed to shoot them, apparently, even if they're wielding a gun. And so what are they supposed to do? So they shoot because it's the law. But where's the justice? And so the people get in the streets and they riot and they're like, where's the justice? The justice is not on this earth because this earth is not just. God is just.
Amen.
That justice is found in our hearts. That's the only place where the healing starts. It's the only place where the healing happens. If we want to see riots end, then it's up to us to get out there and tell the people Donald Trump's not going to fix it. Hillary's not going to fix it. Jay Inslee isn't going to fix it. The Supreme Court justices aren't going to fix it. Only Christ can fix it. When he changes the hearts of the people, and he turns them around from the inside out, when he leads them to be born again, he and he alone can accomplish that. Until then, folks, we're just pushing a rope uphill. We're just working and nothing's happening. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm number 16. I'm going to cut right to the chase today. I would plan to read the entire psalm, which is there, but let's move to the next slide. So it says this, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot." Let me stop there for just a moment, because what I want to say is I selected this verse because I was so deeply moved as we did these songs this past week. This one... fill my cup, Lord. It says, like the woman at the well, I believe that's from John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman at the well who was seeking. But the things that she was seeking, they wouldn't satisfy her heart. This song, Richard Blanchard wrote this song, and he wrote this chorus, "Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord." Because you see, that's the best that we can do, is to lift this cup, an empty vessel, and ask God to fill it. Because you see, if we try and fill it with the things of this world, we're going to find that it evaporates, it leaks out, I don't know what happens to it, but our cup never gets full. I was having a talk with a young man recently who was so frustrated about his parents because he says, all my parents do, they work, 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 work. I said, why are they working? He said, well, they're trying to make money. I said, well, how much money are they trying to make? He said, I don't know, all they can. Well, how much is that? How would they ever know if they got where they were going if they don't have a goal? That's the way it is when you pursue money. Until you become Scrooge McDuck, you'll never have enough. Until you've got enough where you can just open the vault and it just falls out on you, you'll never have enough. Money won't satisfy. Because sadly, even if you have it all, even if you have it all, you couldn't have enough. So what? Shall we seek love? Shall we fill our cup with love? Well, in order to get love, you've got to go out, have a good time, show yourself to be a real charismatic person, and you've got to attract the men or the women to you, or apparently in this society, both. And you've got to draw, you know, so that you can be pulled into love. But so often, you know, when people think, well, if I can just find love, then I'll be complete. Then I'll be full. Then I'll be satisfied. And then you wake up in the morning and you roll over and you look at your spouse and you smell the bad breath and, you know, you see the hair going every direction. And then you realize that, oh, she's gone and placed a mirror beside you. And it's not all it was cracked up to be. Because it's not everything. See, the only place where we can find everything is if we return to the source from whence we came. If we can return back to that place where we found birth and life in the first place, which comes from God. The only place where we can find true fulfillment is when we find ourselves content and happy and satisfied and in love with Him. Because when we find that, we found it all. No one has more to give than God. An endless supply of everything. Just take another breath and realize we've never ran out of oxygen. Oh, if we cut down another tree in the rainforest, we're all going to die. No, if you cut down all the trees on the planet, God would just figure that out too.
Amen.
Not that we shouldn't be good stewards. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying God's in control. I just so want to challenge you today to know that the Lord is our chosen portion. He alone is the one who can truly fill our cups. He holds our lot. That is, and the idea here where it says that God holds our lot, this is the idea of casting lots. You know, they used to make a lot of decisions in the ancient world by casting lots. We would say rolling dice. So it's like, should I buy the house or shouldn't I buy the house? What do you say, hon? You call the number, I'll roll the dice. She calls seven. It's seven. We're going to buy the house. Praise the Lord. The psalmist says, the scriptures say that God holds our luck. It's not really luck if we're trusting it to Him. It's divine providence. But too often what we do is we say, okay, hon, I'm going to roll the dice. You call the number. She calls seven. It's a five. Okay, two out of three. Because we want the house. We want what we want. We don't want what God has for us. Verse 6 says, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Oh, but sometimes, you know, we don't feel like the lines have fallen in pleasant places. We wind up, you know, married to an abusive spouse or a spouse that does wrong things. You know, you have a child and you hold that little child and you just love him so much that you could just, I don't know, you just love him so much that it just seems so sweet you could just eat him. And then by the time they're 18, you wish you had. Sometimes it just doesn't seem like life deals us cards that we want to make us happy. And that is because we lose traction on what verses 5 and 6 are really talking about. You see, when we receive the Lord as our portion, we're receiving more than we deserve. He is enough. Let me just throw that out to you as a question. Is God enough for you? If you lost all your money, but you still had Him, would you still have everything? If you lost your spouse, and a dear friend of many of ours, Judy Robinette, this last week, her husband lost his battle with cancer. If you lose the one you love, would you still have everything? I haven't had an opportunity to talk with Judy. I know that Judy is a faithful Christian. If I had the opportunity to talk with her, I would say something that she knows and that other people have no doubt already told her. You will see him again. This isn't the end. This is just the intermission. This isn't him leaving the theater. This is just him going for popcorn.
Amen.
It's not the end. Death is not the end for those who believe. We wait and we wait and we wait. Because there's a pleasant place that lies before us. We have a beautiful inheritance because God is our inheritance. He is the pleasant place. If we camp in Him, all other things take care of themselves. I want to wade into some water today that might get me in trouble, but I want to do it anyway. Because I'm just, my mind this week, I've just been so many places in my mind. Usually, you know, I start working on a sermon and my mind is usually all over the place. But as Sunday approaches, things kind of get narrowed down and narrowed down and narrowed down so that I'm on, you know, one topic, 3 points by the time I stand here. But today, my thoughts are everywhere. My thoughts are in the news that we've been watching. Shooting in Burlington. Colleen and I used to go to the drive-in theater where that mall is sitting now. It was such a grand thing when they built it. We lived in near Burlington when they did that. And boy, the Cascade Mall was just wow. Right on the freeway, they moved roads and changed things. And they put a movie theater right in the mall. Can you imagine that? And it was just such a one. And some guy, for some reason, takes a gun and just walks in and starts shooting people who are shopping. What's with that? I heard that he killed 5 people. 2 of them I haven't heard, but I heard there was a grandma, a mom, and a 16-year-old girl that had just recently recovered from battling cancer. So she crosses one big threshold of defeating cancer, and then she crosses another threshold of dying. What gives this guy the right to come in and do that? He has no right. And then, I've heard so many news stories of things with all the Black Lives Matter stuff. It seems like they pull over a person, the police will pull someone over or stop someone, and then something goes dreadfully wrong and the policeman shoots the person. And I'm not there, I just listen to the media, which I know lies to me. And, you know, I don't know who's to blame. I'm sure there's plenty of police officers who are not good people. But all of them I know are pretty good people. So I don't think all police officers are horrible people.
No,
so, but then somebody gets killed, and why is it, you know, that a person comes out and they get shot and then there's a riot? You know, a guy's got a rap sheet this long, and suddenly everybody's out in the street rioting because a policeman killed this guy that was a thug and a criminal. I don't get that. But then there's a lot of things I don't get. You guys ever heard the term white-splaining? It's one word, white-splaining. White-splaining is when a white person tries to explain the oppression, tries to explain oppression to a person of a minority group. So white splaining is a bad thing. White splaining is when a white person is trying to tell a black person how they should respond to racism, or a Hispanic person, or when a particularly white, straight person is trying to explain to a gay person how they're supposed to behave, or what they're dealing with. It's white splaining, and it's white splaining is always bad. Even if the white person says all the right things and the correct things, it's still coming from the wrong source, therefore it's bad. Okay? It's just like when a man tries to explain to a woman what it's like to be a woman. That doesn't work, does it?
No.
No. So, I guess that's mansplaining. And that's another term, mansplaining. That's when men are trying to explain to women what it's like to be a woman.
So would there be
woman's
slang?
Of course not. One of our biggest problems in America, in the state of Washington, in Jefferson County, all kind of boils down to Psalm chapter 16, verses 5 through 9. See, there it says, the Lord is my chosen portion, my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night, also, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. Here is the problem, is people have grown dissatisfied with God being their portion. They want something else. They want something more. We want something else. We want something more. God is not enough for us. And when that happens, suddenly I've got rights where I don't have any rights. But yet I claim that I have rights. As a nation, we have forgotten that the only good place to be is where God wants us. It's the only good place to be. Being with what's popular or what interests us, but not where God wants us, is wrong. Here's a for instance. I've mentioned the Black Lives Matter a couple times, and it's a movement. And I am absolutely confident that God wants some people right in the middle of drawing attention to the unjust treatment that people receive because of the color of their skin. Now, let me say this again. Now, because whenever we typically hear us white slainers, whenever we hear that term, Black Lives Matter, we want to say all lives matter. Well, all lives do matter. But Black Lives Matter isn't saying all lives don't matter. What Black Lives Matter is saying is that there is a movement, there is a collection of people who are trying to say, let's treat one another all justly and the same. Now, I don't know that I'm particularly invested or drawn into that movement, so I look at it from a distance. All lives matter. Black lives matter. All lives matter. I'm good with that. I'm good with saying that we probably need to focus in some areas in our country in improving on the problem of racism. Okay. But it's not my thing. My thing is something different. Because you see, God has called me to do something different. And he has not called every black person in the world to get involved in Black Lives Matter. Okay? Case in point. When a person gets involved in something that they're not supposed to be involved in, they do stupid things. If you've ever had a problem in your marriage, and your mother-in-law comes by to give you advice, you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever had a problem with your, you know, religion, your faith, and you're struggling, and somebody who's incredibly dogmatic about their faith comes to you and starts telling you, you know what, if you wore a suit to church, if you read the King James only, if you did this, if you did that, if you did this other thing, then if you walked that line, you'd be fine. If you've ever had that happen to you, you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever had cancer and had somebody come up to you and say, you know, people who have unresolved issues with their parents get cancer. You know what I'm talking about. See, because there's a lot of people that get involved in things that God's not calling them to get involved in. And when you see the police shoot and kill a thug, and it's a white officer and a black officer, he didn't shoot him because he's black. He shot him because he's a thug. But when there's a riot the next day, those are people that shouldn't be involved in that. Because they're trying to stamp out hate with hate. That doesn't work. It never has. Only love can do that. So those people need to get out of there. Let me give you another, for instance. It's Sunday. And apparently, when the flowers were put out, somebody thought the Seahawks needed to be prayed for. After last Sunday, that's probably true. But some of the pro football players are choosing to kneel during the national anthem. These people are not being called by God to be involved in this. I know that because they're doing something really stupid. They're protesting America. Now, they don't seem to understand that America is not this other place. We, the people, are America. So these punks, when they kneel, are protesting themselves. Can I try on punks? They're probably not okay. But they need to understand that that behavior is foolish. They're not part of the solution. They're creating a bigger problem. They're even creating a different problem. God's not calling them to be involved. God's calling smarter people. God calls people who are driven by love to be involved, not people who are driven by hate. Not people who want to shame other people. Where do you fall into this category? Do you try and shame people into believing what you believe? Or do you try to show people that there's a better way? I feel a bit like I'm preaching to the choir because, you know, here we make a decision to cancel soup because there's going to be so many people gone. And some of you say, you know what, we need to have soup anyway, so let's go ahead and just do takeouts. And 56 people come by and get takeouts. So, but I want to reaffirm to you that when you're choosing to love people to your own inconvenience, when you're choosing to do good, even when it costs you so much, you are doing exactly what God wants them to do. You know that when it comes to prejudice, and I just want to say this, you know when it comes to prejudice, everybody has something that somebody's prejudiced against. Somebody says, oh, white male, he doesn't get prejudice. Yeah, everybody gets prejudice. Because everybody has been treated prejudicial. Everybody. Everybody is hated for something. I'm going to give you an example about myself. You know what? I've been short my entire life. 5'6", if I stretch. I was recently got my height measured. I had my boots on, and they said I was 5'7". Yes! I don't know how I got 2 inches out of these boots, but I'll take it. You have any idea that teasing and shame and ridicule that a short person has to put up with their entire life? You guys remember the song that Randy Newman wrote, and it was a hit song in 1977, scored number 2 on the chart. Short people. And it says, short people got no reason to live. They got little hands, little eyes, they walk around telling great big lies. They got little noses, little tiny teeth. They wear platform shoes on their nasty little feet. They got little baby legs, and they stand so low, you gotta pick them up just to say hello. They got little cars go beep, beep, beep. They got little voices going beep, beep, beep. They got little grubby, they got grubby little fingers and dirty little minds. They gotta get their, they're gonna get you every time. Well, I don't want no short people around here. The first time I ever heard that song, I was riding in the back seat in the center of two guys where I couldn't jump out on the freeway. And they were all looking at me, laughing and singing along with this song. And I'm like, can we switch to the country station? You see, though, being short wasn't a choice for me. But after being born short, I have a choice to make. And my choice is quite simply that if it's okay with God, it's okay with me. Some people are born with a propensity toward alcoholism. They know that they can't drink. It's just the cup. It's just where the line fell for them. They just can't cross it. It's just the way it is. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's, you know, battling with obesity. Maybe it's the color of your skin. The shape of your head. See, everybody gets something. And every one of us have to stand up and praise God for what we have received. And I so want to encourage you to not only look at yourselves in that light, but to look at others, all others, in that same light, knowing that whoever they are, God has them on the path for healing. He has them on the path for hope. He has them on the same path he's got you on. That's your path. And he's got them on their path. So just keep walking. Just keep loving. Just keep being kind. Just keep believing and having hope. You know that article about Michael, I didn't read it, the whole article, but I just began to read it. And, you know, when they talked about that all he wanted was a home, I've had the opportunity, his mom has called the church a few times, to just ask me, how's Michael? Because you see, Michael had a drug problem. And they cut off his money because he kept using the money to buy drugs. And they kept saying, Michael, if you go to rehab, if you do this, if you do that, come back to our family. Make good choices. But to him, they're just white slang. They're just talking about things that they don't understand. Because he's got a mental illness. He's got an addiction. He's got a problem. He winds up hanging from a tree. See, Michael had choices. But he didn't take them. Because you see, Michael's problem wasn't homelessness. Michael's problem was hopelessness. That's what the Christians are in the business of. If I can secularize it, is to just say we're in the business of selling hope. Hope that no matter what happens, God is going to guide you forward. That there's a future and a road that never ends. That when death happens, there's life on the other side of it. And that life is better than this life. That's the life where God himself lives, manifested. This life is just the passageway to get there. It's like a baby inside of a mother's stomach. That's where we are right now. It's the only life. Can you imagine two twins, and I'll finish, two twins in a mom's stomach, and one says to the other, do you feel that?
No.
Yeah, what's that? That's a contraction. What's that mean? Well, that means they're going to try and push us out of here. Well, I'm not going. You going? No, I ain't going. We've been here the whole time. It's warm here. The food is piped to us. The blood is piped to us. The liquids are piped to us. We are safe. We are secure. We're inside of our mother. We're right. We're in the best place possible. I'm not going. Did you feel that? Yeah, that one was harder than the last one. Would you mind getting down by my feet? That one said, no, you get down by my feet. You feel that? Yeah, I felt that. I think if I move down here, I'm going to be a little more comfortable. Yeah, good idea. You go down there, and there'll be more room for me after you're gone. Suddenly, I'm in there by myself. The one twin now, he's in there by himself. He's like, well, there's room here. It's better than it was. It's the only world I know. I am not going out there. There's scary stuff out there. There's things that are uncertain out there. It's cold out there. I felt that cold air on my feet. And suddenly I'm getting this terrible urge to stand on my head. I don't know where that comes from. But I think I'd be more comfortable if I was. So I'll just do that just for a minute. And then the whole world changes. And those two twins are now laying in the nursery, side by side, and one says to the other, is your blanket soft? My blanket really soft. Did you see that nurse? Yeah, she's so sweet. Did you see what your mom looked like on the outside? Yeah, I saw her too. It was so wonderful. I didn't know. You know, on the inside, she's kind of ugly. But on the outside, she was really pretty. And she held me so tight, so warm. So wonderful. You in the left arm, me in the right. Life out here is so good. Why did we want to stay in there? Let's stand together. Holy Father, we get so frustrated with all the things that are going on in this life, and we forget, Lord, that the portion that you have prepared for us is more than we deserve. Help us, Father, to live here as an encouragement to one another. Help us, Father, to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Help us, Lord, to serve you. Help us, Lord, to serve you. Help us, Father, to pursue you. Father, I pray if there's anybody here who doesn't know Jesus Christ, I pray, Father, that they would come to know him right now. Because without, Lord, without you giving us life anew, we're just like an unfertilized egg. We never become that life. We just kind of pass through this world unnoticed by you. And that, Father, is the saddest of all things. So I pray, Father, today, that anybody that's here that's never asked Jesus Christ with their heart, that they would do that now. That they would become your child and that they would prepare themselves to life, for life and life everlasting with you. And Father, for those of us that need to rededicate our lives, I pray that you give us the strength to do just that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Through the fire, so why you die?